Contents. Stories and Features. From the First Presidency, Your Future Home, by President Henry B. Eyring. School Bus Hero. Family Night Fun. Love Spoken. And I Finish the Book of Mormon. Answers from an Apostle, Elder David A. Bednar. Friends Who Stand Tall. One Girl Primary. Bulletin Board. Off to Chicago. When I Grow Up, I Want to Be an Architect. Book of Mormon Hero. Alma Repented. I Can Read the Book of Mormon. Following Prophets and Apostles. Ethan's Testimony. Show and Tell. Friend of Friend, Sister Carol F. McConkie. How Are Prophets Called? Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. Poem, Thinking of Jesus. Music, Stand for the Right. For Older Kids, Better Friends, and I Need to Talk. Things to Make and Do, Fun Stuff, Conference Words, Happy Sabbath, We Missed You, Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture, Fun Stuff, Campfire Creations, Friend Junior, For Parents of Little Ones, Bright Idea Poster, Flashlight Family Night, Follow the Light, Book of Mormon Stories, Alma Baptizes Many People, Coloring Page, and Pesos for Heavenly Father. End of Contents. Read by David Shaw. The Friend Magazine for April 2016, Volume 46, Number 4, Copyright 2016, by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated, all rights reserved.
Friends by Mail. Anna's Journey. The wooden trunk Ida brought from Sweden to America is in the spare room at our grandparents' home. It was so cool to read about it in The Friend, July and August 2015. Samantha and Natalie W., ages 10 and 4, Idaho, USA.
God Answers My Prayers. In the July 2015 Friend, I read Heavenly Father Answers My Prayers. The boy's cousin is like my dad because my dad was in a car accident and had to be taken to the hospital. My dad had many broken bones and couldn't open his eyes. I like to read the story and compare it to mine. I know my dad will get better, and so will the boy's cousin. Samantha K., age 10, Oklahoma, USA.
The Red Coat. I love to help my mother at home and to help others. My favorite story in The Friend is The Coat. March 2012, Rakshan H., age 9, Bangalore, India.
My first friend. I got my first friend in the mail. My favorite part was the inside rooms of the temple. July 2015, I want to go to the temple. Preston S., age 5, Pennsylvania, USA.
Dear friends, it's time for General Conference again. Turn to page 24 to learn more about what a prophet does. On page 10, you'll find a fun stuff activity to do during conference. You can print out more activities at gc.lds.org. Love, The Friend. P.S. After you watch conference, please tell us what you liked about it. Send us your photo and permission from a parent to friend@ldschurch.org. Send it conference weekend so we might be able to put it in the May Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. End of the section, Friends by Mail. Read by Maya Reinwand, Amelie Strongen, Hope Williams, Daniel McClellan, and Miles McClellan.
From the First Presidency, Your Future Home, by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. One of my early memories is reading the scriptures in school. Back then, schools in my city began each day with a student reading from the Bible. So about every 25 school days, my turn came to choose the scripture. I always chose the same one. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, the love of Christ, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith
so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. As I read the first few words, I would get a certain feeling. The feeling was not just that the words were true, but that they were about some better world I wanted with all my heart to live in. It would be in a family I would someday have. I never talked with anyone about those feelings. Then, when I was 11, my parents took me to the home of my great uncle. He was a patriarch. He put his hands on my head and gave me my patriarchal blessing. He told me about the home where I would someday be the father. He described what I had been yearning or hoping for, my future home and family. I wondered, how can he know what is only in my heart? It was not secret, because God knew. Don't ignore the feelings that come to you to rise above yourself into a higher and more beautiful world. You might think it's not possible to grow up, get educated, and see the world, but you can. The Savior promised, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He can and He will. I pray that you may go forward without fear and with confidence. Adapted from Come Unto Christ, Brigham Young University Devotional, October 29, 1989. Speeches.byu.edu. End of the article from the First Presidency, Your Future Home, by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Read by David Shaw.
School Bus Hero by Jason Wright, based on a true story. Sometimes heroes wear backpacks instead of capes. I'll walk with you, I'll talk with you, that's how I'll show my love for you. Children's Songbook 140. Do I have to ride the bus today? I knew what the answer would be, but I had to ask, just in case. Riding the bus every morning was the worst. The older kids teased me. It was hard to find a seat, and I was always lonely.
Yes, Jason,
Mom said.
Dad already left in the car.
I dragged my feet to the bus stop. I'd do anything to not ride the bus. Then I had an idea. I jumped behind a big tree. I heard the bus slow down and stop. Then I heard it pull away. I did it. I didn't have to ride the bus. Why hadn't I thought of this before? I walked back home and told Mom the bus had left without me. I promised to be more careful the next time. She called Dad, and he came home to drive me to school. Later that day, I saw Ryan, a boy who rode on my bus.
What happened to you this morning?
He asked. I missed the bus, I said.
I know, but why were you hiding behind a tree?
Oh no, you saw me?
Yep, everyone did.
I groaned. Now they would tease me more than ever. All day long I worried. How could I possibly ride the bus now? The next day I trudged back to the bus stop. Why did I hide? This was going to be the worst ride to school ever. I squeezed my eyes shut and prayed, Heavenly Father, please help me be okay on the bus. Just then the bus turned the corner and slowly rumbled to my stop. The doors opened and I climbed up the stairs. Ryan waved and patted the seat next to him.
You can sit here,
he said. My eyes widened in surprise. Ryan was funny and had lots of friends, and he wanted to sit by me?
You didn't hide today.
I shook my head, hoping he wasn't going to tease me.
I don't like riding the bus either, but it's a lot better when you sit by a friend.
I was even more surprised. Did Ryan feel lonely sometimes too? We talked the whole way to school. Some of the older kids teased me, but it was easy to ignore them when I had a friend. It was the best ride to school ever. But the next morning, I was worried again. Would Ryan save me a seat? As I climbed up the stairs, I saw Ryan. He smiled and waved me over. It felt so good to have a friend to sit and laugh with. Ryan was my school bus hero. The next day, Ryan wasn't on the bus, but before I could panic, I remembered what Ryan had said. I don't like riding the bus either, but it's a lot better when you sit by a friend. Maybe there was someone else who needed a friend, too. I spotted an empty seat next to a quiet boy I had seen at recess. I sat down next to him and asked what his name was.
Blake,
he said. Soon we were talking and laughing. I made another new friend. For the rest of the year, I was never afraid to ride in the bus again. I knew what it felt like to be alone, so when I ever saw a kid looking around for a place to sit, I patted the seat next to me. I could be a school bus hero, too.
Sidebar. One day, me and my friends were on the kickball field playing around. Then we saw a girl sitting alone by the fence. We went over and asked her if she wanted to play kickball with us. She said yes. I felt good knowing I helped someone feel good. Colton B., age 10, Utah, USA.
End of the story, School Bus Hero. Read by Ethan Nelson, Shauna Thompson, Scott Moore, Enzo Patello, and Matthew Moore.
Family Night Fun. Here are some fun FHE ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Kindness ABCs. Read School Bus Hero, page 4, or Love Spoken, page 8. What does it mean to be kind? Write something for each letter of the alphabet on a poster. How can you follow Jesus' example of being kind? At home, work, school, or play? Set some family goals and hang up the poster where everyone can see it. Short and sweet bananas. It's sweet to be kind, and often all it takes is something easy like a smile or nice words. Try out this sweet and easy treat. Be sure to get an adult's help. Cooking oil, one banana sliced, one tablespoon honey, one tablespoon warm water, cinnamon. 1. Heat a frying pan on medium heat and lightly drizzle it with oil. 2. Set banana slices in the pan and cook for 1 to 2 minutes on each side. 3. Meanwhile, whisk together the honey and water. 4. Take the pan off the stove and pour the honey over the banana slices. Let the bananas cool, then sprinkle with cinnamon. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. Spreading kindness. Think of someone who was kind to you. How did it make you feel? Then think of someone who could use your kindness. What can you do? Now go do that kind thing. How did it make you feel? Tasty treats. Try these for FHE this month. Dip pretzels in melted chocolate or white chocolate. Layer peach yogurt with fresh or frozen raspberries and fresh or canned pineapple chunks. Try crackers and cheese with jam. More FHE ideas. Here are some more FHE ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine and find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea number 1. Why do we follow the prophet? What do apostles do? What's a revelator? Find these answers and more in Following Prophets and Apostles and Answers from an Apostle. Idea number 2. Read Pesos for Heavenly Father. Use stickers or markers to decorate your own tithing jar. What does Heavenly Father promise us when we pay tithing? Hint, read Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. Idea number 3. Was anyone missing from your primary on Sunday? You could write them a card or let them know you missed them. Use the card on Happy Sabbath or make your own. End of the article, Family Night Fun, read by Natalie Moore.
Love Spoken by Sheila Kindred, based on a true story. Love one another as I have loved you. John chapter 13, verse 34.
Mom is coming back tonight,
Dad said when he picked up Cassie from school.
That means today is Clean the House Day.
Yes,
Cassie cheered. Cassie wasn't too excited about cleaning, but she was excited that Mom was finally coming home. She had been gone for 2 long weeks taking care of Grandma, who lived far away. Cassie had missed her so much that some nights she had even listened to the old cassette tape recordings that her mom had once made for her. On these tapes, Mom had recorded herself reading stories to Cassie. Before Cassie knew how to read, she would listen to these recordings over and over while looking at the pictures in the books. Cassie hadn't listened to them in a long time, until now. After the house was sparkling clean, Cassie and Dad went to the airport to pick up Mom. When she got off the plane, Mom was happy to see them, but she looked tired.
"I don't think I should give kisses today,"
Mom said.
"I think I caught the flu on my trip. I don't feel so good."
Mom went straight to bed when they got home. Cassie came in to see her later, and she had a cold cloth across her eyes.
"Do you want to play a board game?"
"No, I'm sorry, sweetie. I have a bad headache, and I need to rest my eyes. But there's nothing wrong with my ears. Why don't you sit with me and tell me everything that happened while I was gone?"
Cassie smiled and pulled the chair close to the bed. She talked and talked, and Mom listened. The next night, Mom was still sick. Cassie had to go to school the next day, and Mom would be home by herself.
"She'll be so lonely, just like I was,"
Cassie thought. Then she had a great idea. She went to the bookshelf and got down one of Mom's favorite stories. In the morning, before she left for school, Cassie brought a shoebox to her mom.
"This is for you. I also made you a sandwich, peanut butter with strawberry jam. It's in the fridge."
"Oh, thank you."
She opened the box and took out the tape recorder.
"What's this?"
Her mom pushed play, and Cassie's voice said,
"Dear Mom, I'm going to read your favorite story. Just close your eyes and have fun listening."
She pushed stop on the recorder and laughed.
"Oh, this is wonderful. I'm so excited to listen to this."
"I did all the voices, just like you used to."
"Thank you, Cassie. How did you get to be so thoughtful?"
"I learned from you, Mom."
Sidebar. In primary and at home, I'm taught to always be nice and to be like Jesus. A new kid moved into our school. My best friend and I wanted to make him feel welcome and not alone. We went home and made him cookies. It made him happy, and his mom wrote us a note telling us how good it made him and her feel. Asher R., age 9, Utah, USA.
End of the story, Love Spoken. Read by Kate Strongen, Jane Wise, Van Farnworth, Amelie Strongen, and Noah Strongen.
I finished the Book of Mormon, a true story written by you, by Brianne C., age 8, Taiwan. In the October 2010 General Conference, Sister Rosemary M. Wixom, the primary general president, told about a family with little kids that took 3.5 years to read the Book of Mormon. "My family and I decided to do the same thing. My parents helped me, and my sister and brother say the words in the Book of Mormon. It took us 3 years to finish reading the Book of Mormon, too. And when we finished, I could read all the words by myself. When we started reading it, we lived in Recife, Brazil, where we read it for 1 year. Then we moved to Washington, D.C., and read it for another year. Finally, we moved to Taipei, Taiwan, where we read it for one more year until we finally finished it. I like to act out Book of Mormon stories because it's a fun way to learn about what happened in the book. One of my favorite stories is when Abinadi taught the gospel to King Noah, and Elma had the courage to escape from King Noah to preach the gospel and baptize people into the church. I like that story because I was baptized while we were reading the Book of Mormon as a family. I have a testimony that the Book of Mormon is true. After we finished reading it, we had a family home evening where we prayed to find out if it was true. After we prayed, I felt warm and peaceful in my heart. I knew that was the Holy Ghost telling me the Book of Mormon is true. I love the Book of Mormon. It is a very special book, and I want to keep reading it so I can follow Heavenly Father's plan. End of the story, I finished the Book of Mormon. Read by Maya Reinwand.
Answers from an Apostle. What do apostles do? From Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Apostles are servants of the Lord. They travel to visit members of the church around the world. The first time I traveled as an apostle, I met a man who had a hard time living the word of wisdom. I told him, "The Lord sent me here to give you a very simple message. You can do this. I promise you will have His help as you face this challenge." Would the Lord send one of His 12 apostles halfway around the world to help just one person? The answer is yes. He does it all the time. From Elder and Sister Bednar's Face-to-Face Worldwide Broadcast.
Meet Elder David A. Bednar. He was born in California on June 15, 1952. His mother was a member of the church, and his father was a member of another church. When he was a boy, he liked to visit his grandparents on their dairy farm. He would sit with them in their backyard and eat pomegranates and watermelon. He played as quarterback on his high school football team. He loves reading the Book of Mormon. When he was growing up, he also enjoyed reading adventure novels. He and his parents took vacations together around Canada and the United States. His favorite trip was to the Sacred Grove in New York. He met his wife, Susan Robinson, while they were playing flag football at a family home evening activity in college. What is an apostle? When Jesus was on the earth, He called 12 men to be His special helpers and witnesses. They were called apostles. He has called apostles to be His special helpers and witnesses today. They testify of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Elder Bednar is an apostle. End of the article, What Do Apostles Do? Read by Noah Strongin and Dwayne Case.
Friends Who Stand Tall, from an interview by Jill Hacking, One Girl Primary.
Hi, I'm Arwen. I'm from New Mexico, USA. I like to play games and use my imagination. And I'm the only person in my primary. What standing tall means to me? To me, standing tall means standing up for yourself and holding to the right. You can stand tall by having faith in Jesus Christ, reading the scriptures, and living God's standards. Small town life. We live in a very small town. There aren't many people my age, so I spend lots of time with my family. My older sisters and I take care of our horses, chickens, goats, and cats. My grandparents live across the street. We help them with their animals, too. Just me in primary. It's pretty interesting to be the only person in primary. I meet with my teachers in the lobby of the building. We have a lesson and sharing time. I always get called on to answer the teacher's questions. Our small branch meets in a rented building every Sunday. After sacrament meeting, I gather the hymn books and put them away. I like to help out. Sharing the gospel. One time, I shared the gospel with my friend. I told him about agency. It didn't turn out the way I thought it would. Even though he wasn't interested, I'm glad I shared. After church on Sundays, I leave flyers about Mormon.org on the tables so other people who use the building will see them.
Stand tall. Look for ways to help out at church. If someone is sitting alone in your primary class, sit by them. Find a creative way to share the gospel. Send us your footprint. How do you follow Jesus by standing tall? Trace your footprint and send us your story and photo along with your parents' permission. Find out how on page 39.
End of the article, One Girl Primary, read by Maya Reinwand and Shauna Thompson.
Happy Sabbath. We missed you. Do this activity with your family. Going to church is the most important part of the Sabbath. We take the sacrament and learn more about the gospel. We also meet together like Jesus told his followers to do. See 3 Nephi chapter 18, verse 22, and help each other be strong. Have one person read this list out loud while everyone else in your family closes their eyes. Pause after each sentence to give everyone time to think. Picture the chapel during sacrament meeting. Do you remember who spoke? Did you feel the Spirit? Think about the people in your class. Picture their faces. Now try to think of someone who wasn't at church. How can you show love to that missing person? Now open your eyes. We show love for Jesus Christ when we show love to others. As a family, do something special for someone who wasn't at church. You could cut out the card below and glue it to paper or make a surprise of your own. The card reads, "We missed you at church. Hope to see you next week." Go to friend.lds.org to print more copies of this card. End of the article, "We Missed You," read by Scott Moore.
Bulletin board. Cyber strong. I will never say something online that I wouldn't say to someone in person. God gives us good food. Did you meet Arwen from New Mexico on page 14? New Mexico has two state vegetables, chili and frijoles. Chilies are spicy red peppers, and frijoles are also called pinto beans. Temple connection. The Provo City Center Temple was dedicated last month. The building used to be a tabernacle, but it caught on fire and was badly damaged. Instead of rebuilding it as a tabernacle, President Monson said it should be rebuilt as a temple. Do you know any stories about the temple nearest you? Ask your family. What was the hardest thing that happened to you that later turned out to be a blessing? End of the section, Bulletin Board, read by Van Farnworth. Off to Chicago, by Jane McBride Choate, based on a true story. How would Alex get along without his big brother for 3 whole days? God gave me a family. Children's Songbook, page 234.
Guess what?
Ben shouted as he burst into the kitchen.
I get to go on the 5th grade field trip to Chicago. It's going to be 3 days. We could stay in a hotel and ride the train and everything.
Alex trudged in behind his big brother and dropped his books on the counter. He wanted to be happy for Ben. He really did. But Alex and Ben had never been apart, not even for one night. Every day, they rode the bus to and from school together. They played football together. They went to church together. Ben wasn't just Alex's big brother. He was also his best friend. Alex had a jittery feeling in his stomach. How would he get along without his brother for 3 whole days and nights?
Can I call Dad at work to tell him about the field trip?
Ben asked. Mom nodded.
Go ahead. He'll be excited for you.
After Ben ran to get the phone, Mom saw Alex's sad face.
What's wrong?
She asked.
Why does Ben have to go away?
Alex grumbled.
Why can't his class just stay at school?
Are you worried about missing him?
Alex nodded.
What am I going to do without him?
It will be pretty tough to have Ben gone,
Mom said and ruffled Alex's hair.
But Dad and I will be here. We're not so bad, are we?
She made a funny face and Alex smiled, just a little.
Not so bad,
he agreed. But the next morning, Alex felt nervous again.
When Ben leaves, I'll have to go to school on my own. He hasn't even left, and I already miss him.
You know, I bet Ben feels the same. What if you did something special for his trip?
I guess.
Alex thought about what he could do for Ben. That night, he decided to pray about it.
Heavenly Father, Ben is going away on a school trip. He'll probably miss me, too. I want to do something special to help him not be lonely.
Alex kept thinking, and soon he had a great idea. He would make a going-away bag for Ben. Ben was going to love it. Over the next week, Alex did extra chores to earn money to buy a few little surprises to put in the bag. He put in a fun comic book, Ben's favorite candy bars, a picture of Jesus, and a little stuffed dog that looked like their own dog, Whiskers. Finally, Alex wrote a letter to Ben, telling him how much he loved him. The morning of the trip, everyone got up early. Dad gave Ben a father's blessing. Then the family knelt and had a prayer. They asked Heavenly Father to help Ben to be safe on his trip. After the prayer, Alex gave the going-away bag to Ben.
This is for you. You can't open it until you're on the bus.
Ben hugged Alex.
Thanks. This is the best surprise ever.
When Ben left, Alex wasn't so sad anymore. He was excited, thinking about Ben opening up his special bag. They would have lots to tell each other when Ben got back.
Sidebar. My older brother has a muscle disease. I love helping him when he falls down, fixing him food, and also playing with him. It makes me happy. And I know that my Savior, Jesus Christ, is smiling at me for doing great service. Violetta C., age 5, Utah, USA.
End of the story, Off to Chicago. Read by Van Farnworth, Enzo Patello, Miles McClellan, Kate Strongen, and Shannon Nelson.
When I grow up, I want to be an architect. From an interview by Linda Davies.
I'm Sarah Staffenson, and I'm an architect.
What do you do in your job?
I design temples and other buildings. I draw what a building should look like. Architects decide how much buildings will cost, what materials to use, and how to put everything together. We work with engineers, interior designers, and landscapers.
What do you like most about your job?
When I was a child, I loved building houses in the sandbox. I have the same fun now, except now my ideas turn into real buildings. I love seeing something from my imagination become real.
What did you have to do to learn this job?
I went to college to become an architect. I learned about drawing, design, math, computer programs, and all about buildings. Being organized and working with other people is also important. Sometimes you fail, and sometimes you succeed. You need both experiences to grow your talents.
How does your job help you serve others and express your testimony?
I always pray for guidance from Heavenly Father when I design a building or for anything in my life. I love Heavenly Father and the Savior, and I know they know me personally. I grew up in Star Valley, Wyoming, USA, and as an architect, I helped design the new Star Valley Temple. My son, Micah, even helped me turn a shovel of dirt at the groundbreaking. It is a blessing to help create a building that can bless so many lives.
End of the article. I Want to Be an Architect, read by Amelie Strongen and Shauna Thompson.
Fun stuff, hidden picture. This attic holds a lifetime of memories. Sister Olson is so grateful for her neighbor's help in organizing it all. Can you find the hidden objects? A mitten, a paper airplane, a pen, a kite, a skateboard, a hat, a pink mitten, a sock, a mailbox, a pink bow, a belt, a sandwich, a flower in a pot, a sock, a pencil, a slice of pie, a tie, a green crayon, and a cane. End of Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Book of Mormon Heroes. Alma the Elder was a priest of the wicked King Noah. He listened to the prophet Abinadi teach about the commandments. Alma knew he needed to change his life and follow God instead of doing wicked things. He wrote down what Abinadi taught. He began teaching others the gospel. Later, he had a family and named one of his sons Alma.
I was playing goalie and doing a great job. Then I remembered I needed to repent for saying something mean yesterday. I needed to do it, but I was in the middle of a game. Then I remembered something. You can pray anywhere you need to. After I prayed, I felt good that I repented. Peter G., age 8, Utah, USA.
I can repent. Memorize Mosiah chapter 18, verse 9. Write or draw something the prophet said in general conference. Pick one way you can change for the better. Try doing it this month. And I challenge myself to... End of the article, Book of Mormon Heroes, read by Matthew Moore and Enzo Patello.
Following Prophets and Apostles by Jenna Coford. God calls prophets and apostles to teach us what God wants us to know. In the scriptures, we can read about prophets like Noah, Nephi, and Joseph Smith, and apostles like Peter and Paul. We have prophets and apostles today. What is a prophet, seer, and revelator? A prophet speaks for God. A seer can see the past, present, and future. A revelator reveals or shows us the will of God. The members of the First Presidency are all prophets, seers, and revelators. The members of the First Presidency are all prophets, seers, and revelators. So are all the apostles. Only the president of the church has the authority from God to lead the whole church. How many living prophets, seers, and revelators do we have in all? 12, 15, 3, or 1? The answer is 15. Why is it important to follow the prophet? A prophet is like someone watching from a tower. He can see danger that is coming and tells us how to be safe. He helps us follow Jesus Christ. What has our prophet asked us to do? Our prophet today is President Thomas S. Monson. Here are some things he has asked us to do. Follow Jesus' example and love everyone. Pay tithing and donate to the missionary fund. Stay away from bad movies, TV, and other media. Put a picture of the temple in our bedroom. Study general conference talks. Visit the elderly and be a good neighbor. Pick one thing from the list you can do this month. What will you do? End of the article, Following Prophets and Apostles, read by Miles McClellan.
Ethan's Testimony by Larry Hiller, based on a true story. It seemed like everyone except Ethan had a testimony. Listen, listen. The Holy Ghost will whisper, listen, listen to the still small voice. Children's Song Book, page 106. Ethan sat in sacrament meeting and listened as his best friend Sam shared his testimony. He talked about a service project he did. Sam said he had a testimony of service. Ethan's dad also gave his testimony. He talked about temple work. Everyone who spoke testified that the church is true. It seemed like everyone except Ethan had a testimony.
What do I have a testimony of?
Ethan wondered. He thought back a few years to when he and his friends were baptized. His primary teacher, Sister Calder, had given a talk on the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost can give you a burning feeling in your heart. He can help you know what is true. And that's how you get a testimony of what you believe.
Ethan tried to do what was right so he could feel the Holy Ghost. He read the scriptures and prayed. But he had never had that burning feeling people talked about. Did that mean he didn't have a testimony? This question stuck in Ethan's head all the next day. He was still thinking about it when he and Sam went skateboarding after school. He wondered how he could ask Sam about it.
Hey, Sam,
Ethan finally asked.
Were you scared when you gave your testimony yesterday?
Sam hopped off his board and walked to the grass.
Not really,
he said, sitting down.
I've shared my testimony at family night before.
Ethan joined him and set his skateboard on his lap.
But how did you know you had a testimony?
Well, I prayed, and I felt good about it.
Ethan slowly nodded and spun a wheel with his hand. Somehow he wanted to feel that way, too. That night, when the house was quiet, Ethan knelt by his bed to pray.
Heavenly Father, please help me have a testimony. Help me know that the church is true, that Joseph Smith was a prophet, and that the Book of Mormon is true.
In the middle of his prayer, Ethan stopped. He thought for a minute. Then he asked himself,
well, do I know anything yet?
And then he felt a quiet, peaceful feeling. It wasn't a powerful, burning feeling, but Ethan knew it was the Holy Ghost. A thought came into Ethan's mind.
I know that I know.
And as he thought about it, he realized he had felt this peaceful feeling before. Whenever he read the Book of Mormon, it felt good and right. Now he knew that feeling was the Holy Ghost testifying to him. When he went to church and it felt good and right to be there, that was the Holy Ghost too. He had already been getting a testimony. He didn't need to know everything right now, but he did know that the Holy Ghost was real and could help him keep building his testimony. Ethan began to pray again, but this time, it was to say thank you.
Sidebar. Like almost everything else in life, testimonies grow and develop through experience and service. Elder M. Russell Ballard, Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Pure Testimony, Ensign November 2004, page 40.
End of the story, Ethan's Testimony. Read by Wes Nelson, Ethan Nelson, Rena Nelson, Aiden Williams, and David Shaw.
Show and tell. When I was 8, I was very excited and happy to be baptized like Jesus was and become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I enjoy going to the temple with my family. Catalego, C., age 10, Gauteng, South Africa.
Recently, the two wards in our city were split to make three wards. I was a little nervous about going to a new primary, but after a few Sundays, I knew I didn't need to feel nervous because the Holy Ghost helped me feel calm and relaxed. I have even made new friends. Morgan A., age 9, Indiana, USA.
For a class project, we had to represent someone important to American history. I chose Wilford Woodruff and researched him for 3 months. I dressed as President Woodruff and brought my scriptures and other items to represent him. I felt the Spirit as I shared information with others who are not members of our faith. Audrey W., age 10, Maryland, USA.
Since I love origami, I decided to make an origami missionary with my own step-by-step instructions. Blaine R., age 11, Arizona, USA.
Activity Day Girls from the Cortez 1st, 3rd, and 4th and Mancos Wards, Colorado, USA, work together to serve the people in their community. They learned how to shine shoes and enjoyed working hard and visiting while they served others.
Primary children in the Verdon Ward, Duncan, Arizona Stake, New Mexico, USA, fill jars of pennies to buy copies of the Book of Mormon for the missionaries. Every Sunday, children who bring their scriptures get to put a penny into the jar. When it is filled, they put a child's testimony in each Book of Mormon to share.
My uncle and his family have had some challenges. After talking with my parents, we decided to have a day of fasting for them. Although we haven't seen any changes, I know that Heavenly Father has heard us and will watch over them during these challenges. I'm so thankful for the power of fasting and prayer. Heavenly Father really cares about and loves us, knows our concerns, and wants to help us. Bruin S., age 10, California, USA.
Standing Tall Footprints, 1,193. Hiram R., age 6, Alberta, Canada, wrote, I will stand tall by helping my mom and dad. I will clean up my dishes after I eat. Zoe D., age 7, Idaho, USA, wrote, I will stand tall by getting ready for my baptism, reading the scriptures, and praying. Hiram V., age 8, Maryland, USA, wrote, One time I was watching baseball on TV, and it was a commercial break. I saw an inappropriate thing and looked away. Emily Z., age 8, Oregon, USA, wrote, If someone gives me a choice, I will choose the better one. William S., age 9, Utah, USA, wrote, I will stand tall by helping others and not being spoiled and always being hasty to help. Mackenzie K., age 3, Arizona, USA, wrote, I will tell people that I love them. Andrew Z., age 10, Oregon, USA, wrote, I will try to think about Jesus when I take the sacrament. Tess H., age 5, Utah, USA, wrote, This year I will follow Jesus by giving to those in need, even when it's not their birthday. I can give them clothes and shoes and food. Send us your feet. See how on page 39.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Holly F., age 7, Alberta, Canada. Quincy W., age 11, West Virginia, USA. Leo T., age 10, Iowa, USA. And Mason W., age 12, Utah, USA. Find more art online at childart.lds.org.
End of this month's Show and Tell, read by Enzo Patello, Amelie Strongen, Salem Tullis, Scott Moore, Eden Reinwand, Matthew Moore, Ethan Nelson, and Hope Williams.
Friend to Friend, Peace in My Heart, by Carol F. McConkie, First Counselor in the Young Women General Presidency. When I was 8, I saw the prophet, President David O. McKay. He came to dedicate a new church building in Palmyra, New York, USA. My family went to the dedication. A lot of other people came, too. We were all excited to see the prophet. I was pretty small, so it was hard for me to see around all the people, but I could still feel President McKay's love. For just a minute, I saw his white hair and his kind face. I thought, this is what a prophet of God looks like. I had read about prophets in the scriptures, but this was my first time seeing a prophet or any general authority in person. I realized that prophets are real people, and they love us. I'll always remember the love and peace I felt that day. When I was 11, I had another experience that helped me feel peace in my heart. State conference was coming up, and I got to sing in the state choir. I was so excited. I wore a pretty white shirt, and I felt so special. The song we sang had the words from John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Those words really touched my heart, and I've remembered them ever since. When I sang those words, I knew they were true. I felt the Holy Ghost tell me that following Jesus Christ helps us feel peace. Since then, whenever I have challenges, this scripture comes to my mind and gives me peace. The truth I learned when I was young has blessed my whole life. End of the article, Peace in My Heart, by Carol F. McConkie, First Counselor in the Young Women General Presidency, read by Jane Wise.
How are prophets called? When a prophet dies, Heavenly Father has a way to call a new prophet. He calls the new prophet from the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Here is the order President Monson and the Apostles were called in. Thomas S. Monson, Russell M. Nelson, Dallin H. Oaks, M. Russell Ballard, Robert D. Hales, Jeffrey R. Holland, Henry B. Eyring, Dieter F. Uchtdorf, David A. Bednar, Quentin L. Cook, Todd D. Christofferson, Neil L. Anderson, Ronald A. Rasband, D. Todd Christofferson, Neil L. Anderson, Ronald A. Rasband, Gary E. Stevenson, Dale G. Renland. The man who has served as an apostle the longest, besides the prophet, is the president of the Quorum of the Twelve. When a prophet dies, the president of the Quorum of the Twelve becomes the next prophet. He prays and calls two new counselors. In general conference, we raise our hand to sustain the new prophet. This means that we promise to do our best to follow what he teaches. End of How Are Prophets Called? Read by Van Farnworth.
Poem, Thinking of Jesus, by Angela P. Larson. I think of Jesus reverently. He gave his life for you and me. I count my blessings one by one, like home and food and rain and sun. I read the scriptures every day to learn the things the prophets say. I close my eyes and bow my head and pray about the things I've read. And if I listen carefully, the Holy Ghost will answer me. End of the poem, Thinking of Jesus, read by Maya Reinwand.
Stand for the Right, Words and Music by Joseph Ballantine.
Work or else.
Watch a sing-along video for this song at children.lds.org. Click on videos. End of the section, I Can Play It, Stand Further Right. Read by Enzo Patello.
For Older Kids. Better Friends by Katherine Nelson, based on a true story. To Have a Friend, You Must Be a Friend Too, Children's Songbook, 262. I was having a blast at activity days. Sister McDonald, our leader, was teaching us how to make our own soap at her house. We mixed lye and water and added scented oils. Then we poured the mixture into molds and added dye. I used my favorite colors, blue and yellow. I added sparkles, and Nikki leaned over to me.
Josie was talking about you yesterday, she whispered.
Then she told me something mean Josie had said about my body.
I wouldn't ever say something like that, though,
she added. I could feel my face get hot. Thanks, I said. But I didn't really feel grateful. I felt sick. I went into the bathroom, locked the door, and sat on the floor. I picked up the braided rug and tried not to cry. This wasn't the first time one of my friends said something mean about me. And it usually happened like that. Someone in our group of friends telling me something mean someone else had said. I wish they wouldn't tell me. It hurt my feelings, and it made me embarrassed about the way I looked. I wish Nikki hadn't said anything. The whole afternoon had gone from fun to terrible. I decided to say a prayer. Heavenly Father, I whispered, please help me not to cry. Please help me to feel better, and please help me to know what to do about my friends. When I got home, I curled up on the couch with a book, but I couldn't focus. Nikki's words bounced around in my head with other mean things my friends had said about me. My mom walked in and saw my face.
Something wrong?
She asked. She sat and looped her arm around me. I leaned my head on her shoulder and told her what Nikki had said. I wish I looked different. Then maybe people would want to be my friend. I swallowed, trying not to cry.
There are a lot of reasons people want to be friends with someone, but I think people stay friends with someone when that person treats them well.
I know, I said. It doesn't matter what I look like, just if I'm nice. Mom turned so she was facing me.
It's hard when people say unkind things about the way we look, but your body is beautiful because you are a child of God, and you deserve to be treated with respect.
I bit my lip. I guess that's true.
Do you think Nikki and Josie are being kind to you?
Mom asked. I looked down. Not really. Mom hugged me.
Is there anyone else that you could be friends with?
I thought about that. There was Mira, who played violin in the orchestra with me. And there was Sarah, a girl in my math class. I hadn't ever hung out with them outside of school. But Mira and I liked to play duets together. And Sarah always helped me with word problems. They were always nice to me, and I had fun with them. They never made fun of the way I looked. Yeah, I think so, I said. Could I maybe invite them over sometime? Mom smiled.
I think that's a great idea.
And Mom, I said, can we get some dye? It would be really fun to make soap with them. I could still be kind to Nikki and Josie, but maybe I needed to make some better friends too. The author lives in Utah, USA. New Friend Find. 1. Put a star by words that describe a good friend. 2. Write down the names of someone who fits what you starred. 3. Invite some of those people to do something together. Kind. Encouraging. Respectful. New at your school or ward. Funny, but sometimes in a mean way. Shy. Talks behind people's back. Fun. Likes to do the same things as you. Not always honest. End of the story, Better Friends. Read by Salem Tullis, Eden Reinwand, and Shauna Thompson. I Need to Talk. When you need help, advice, or support, it's important to talk to a parent. But that doesn't mean it's always easy. Here are some tips to help. If you can't talk to a parent, find a trusted adult who knows and cares about you and wants to help. It could be a relative, church leader, teacher, or school counselor. Use the same tips. Talk to your parents often about everyday things. Then it will be easier to talk to them about a problem. Listen to what your parents say and be respectful. Think about how they might feel. Talk without arguing or whining. Be clear and honest so your parents can know what's going on and how you feel. Don't try to hide things from them. Remember to talk to your Heavenly Father too. When you pray, He can help you. Be patient with your parents. It might be hard for them to be calm and know how to deal with a problem right away. Remember that parents can make mistakes too. Pick a good time to talk when you can have your parents' full attention. Go on a drive or a walk. Let them know if it's urgent. You can say, "I need to talk. When is a good time?" If you're worried about disappointing or upsetting your parents, say how you feel. You could say, "Mom, I need to tell you something, but it's pretty embarrassing." Or, "Dad, I'm worried you'll be mad, but I need to talk to you." Think about what you want from the conversation. Do you want advice or permission or just someone to listen? Tell your parents what you need. You could say, "Dad, I need to tell you about something. It would help me if you just listen and not give me advice until the end." Or, "Mom, I need your advice. Can we talk?" End of the article, "I Need to Talk," read by Salem Tullis.
Fun stuff. Campfire creations. Are you tired of eating s'mores over and over again at family campfires? What? You're not tired of them? Well, here's something else super yummy to try on your next family picnic. You know, between s'mores and all. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need a large stick or a wooden dowel, about 1 1/2 inches, 4 centimeters thick, aluminum foil, pre-made crescent or biscuit dough in a tube, regular sized, not jumbo, pudding, pie filling, or other tasty fillings, whipped cream and frosting for topping. Step 1. Wrap the end of the stick or wooden dowel with aluminum foil. Step 2. Flatten the dough onto the end of the stick until it's thin and even. Step 3. Roast slowly over coals until the dough becomes golden brown. Don't put your stick too close to the flames. Step 4. Remove the cooked dough from the end of the stick after it's cooled a bit. Step 5. Add fillings and toppings and enjoy. The accompanying cartoon has a boy showing his friend a bowl of ice cream so full it is as tall as he is. He says to his friend, "Josh told me you can't get a tummy ache from treats as long as they're a part of a family home evening." End of the article, Fun Stuff, Campfire Creations, read by Ethan Nelson.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's Matt and Mandy, Matt spies golf clubs in a garbage can on his way to Franco's house. He takes them out and thinks to himself,
"Hey, maybe Franco and I could use these."
Later at Franco's house, Matt and Franco are taping the golf clubs to their arm respectively. Matt says,
"Okay, yours is ready."
Franco replies,
"Cool. Hand me that tape and I'll fix mine up too. Would your dad have some golf balls?" "Thanks for letting us use these golf balls, Mr. Delgado."
Mr. Delgado reminds them,
"Remember, putting only. Don't hit them too hard."
Franco then winds up and whacks the ball way too hard, and suddenly,
oops.
To be continued. End of Matt and Mandy. P.S. Through your eyes.
I saw this egg under a fence at my school and took this picture with my mom's phone. I am grateful for all life Heavenly Father created. Simon B., age 6, Utah, USA.
How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or footprint, 1. Fill out the form below and include it with your submission. 2. Include a school photo or high-quality snapshot. 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. 4. You must be at least 3 years old. Please send your submission to Friend Magazine, 50 East North Temple Street, room 2393, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-0024, or email to thefriend at ldschurch.org. The following information and permission must be included. First and last name, age, boy or girl, state, province, country. I give my permission to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to use my child's submission and photo on the church websites and social media platforms, as well as for church reports, print products, video, publications, and training materials. Signature of parent or legal guardian. Email of parent or legal guardian. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, waiting at the bus stop in the pouring rain, three soaking wet young boys giddily play with boats they fashioned out of pencils and homework papers. They float them in an overturned umbrella filled with water from the rain. One boy says to the other two,
"Told you it was a good idea to bring an umbrella this morning."
End of the section, P.S.
For parents of little ones. Even if family home evening doesn't always go the way you hope, it still teaches children important lessons. It teaches them that we study Jesus' teachings at home, not just at church. They see that the gospel is a part of their family's everyday lives. They learn that family time is a high priority to you and that you love spending time with them. Those are some pretty great blessings. Here are some easy ways to help children gain even more from family home evening. Let children take turns choosing the song. You could listen to some during the week they can choose from. Find songs at music.lds.org. Your child can help show a picture to go along with a lesson, like Dallin in Flashlight Family Night, page FJ2. Use a game as the lesson. Create a gospel-themed treasure hunt around the house to teach the rewards of following righteous directions. Teach obedience by turning Simon Says to Mom and Dad Say, or The Scriptures Say. You can find gospel-themed puzzles and mazes, along with other teaching ideas, at lessonhelps.lds.org. Plan a family service activity. Ask your children to think of someone who might need help and listen to their suggestions. Small children may be happier to sit still for a lesson time if they have somewhere special to sit, like on a family home evening cushion or blanket. Keep up the good work. Your children will soon surprise you with what they hear, learn, and remember. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of the article, For Parents of Little Ones, read by Van Farnworth.
Bright Ideas Poster. This month's Bright Idea Poster depicts a family looking out the window as rain falls on their tulips outside. The caption reads, "I'm glad that I live in this beautiful world Heavenly Father created for me." Children's Songbook, page 229. End of this month's Bright Idea Poster, read by Hope Williams.
Flashlight Family Night by Jennifer Maddy. Time for family night. Mom's turn for the lesson. Uh-oh, the lights went out. "No problem," Dad says. Now Dallin isn't so scared. He helps with the lesson. Then a parade to the kitchen. The lights come back on. Let's do that again. End of Flashlight Family Night by Jennifer Maddy. Read by Kate Strongen.
Book of Mormon Stories. Alma baptizes many people. Abinadi was a prophet. He taught people to believe in Jesus and to stop doing bad things. A wicked king named Noah was angry with Abinadi. Noah didn't want to repent. A man named Alma believed Abinadi. He ran away and hid from the angry king. He felt sorry for doing wrong things, and he repented, just like Abinadi had taught. Many people came to hear Alma teach about Jesus Christ. Alma taught that if they repented and followed Jesus, they could be baptized.
The people clapped with joy. They promised to comfort others. They promised to love God and tell other people about Him. They were ready to be baptized. One by one, Alma baptized the people. They were very happy to be part of Jesus' church. When we are baptized, we make the same promises that Alma's people did, and we become part of Jesus' church too. End of the story, Alma Baptizes Many People, read by Natalie Moore.
Pesos for Heavenly Father, by Angela Pena Dolly. Anna chewed her last bite of tortilla. She loved her grandmother's tortillas. They were the best part of breakfast. Anna watched her grandmother, Abuela, wash the dishes. It was like any other morning, but one thing was not the same. Most mornings, Anna and Abuela walked to the market to buy food, but today there was no money.
"What will we eat tomorrow?"
Anna wondered. Then Anna remembered. Last night, she saw Abuela put a few pesos in a little bag.
"Abuela, you have money to buy food."
"What money?" Abuela asked. Anna ran to get the little bag of coins. Clink, clink. Abuela smiled.
"That is our tithing. That is for Heavenly Father."
"But what will we eat tomorrow?"
"Do not worry. Heavenly Father will help us."
The next morning, Abuela gave Anna the last tortilla. Then she sat down in her chair. She told stories about when she was a little girl. She did not look worried. Then Anna heard a knock. She ran to open the door.
"Uncle Pedro."
"I had a feeling I should visit,"
Uncle Pedro said. He put three sacks on the table. One had flour for tortillas. Another had meat. Another had vegetables.
"Oh, my sweet son, thank you."
Anna was so happy. But there was one thing she wanted to know.
"Abuela, did you know Uncle Pedro would come? Is that why you weren't worried?"
"No. When I pay tithing, I have faith that Heavenly Father will bless me. And He did."
Anna hugged Abuela. She felt like the happiest girl in Mexico. She and Abuela had faith in Heavenly Father. The author lives in North Carolina, USA. End of the article, Pesos for Heavenly Father, read by Charlene Stewart, Amelie Strongen, Jane Wise, and Van Farnworth.